Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them in the lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Dan Dimite. I'm joined here in studio with my friend and brother in Christ, Patrick
Rice.
Hey,
Dan.
What's up, Patrick?
I'm so excited to be with you.
Oh, me too. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm so excited for today's show. We are welcoming with us a film star and director. His name is Eric Groth. Eric is the founder and CEO of ODB Films, a Catholic video production ministry that helps people encounter Jesus through artistic and spiritually rich films. Patrick, you may not have heard of Eric's name before, but you've probably heard of his films. ODB Films has created over 200 short films. And in 2006, they released a full feature film about the Blessed Mother Mary called Full of Grace.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was all, it was actually in Walmart. It got so much publicity. You were able to buy it in Walmart. He's an award-winning film director. So we're just so grateful to have him. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of creativity in the new evangelization. Before we do that, can you open us in prayer?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we call upon you. We thank you so much for stirring up the grace of a new evangelization, for faithful Catholics that are engaging in the marketplace, that are engaging in the arts, and bringing out new methods, new modes of communicating the gospel with power, with conviction, and with beauty. And Father, I pray that as we go through this show today, that you would convict other people to get involved and to release the calls that you have on their life to invade our media establishment. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. And we cast out the lie that we are not creative people, because in and through you, Jesus Christ, we are creative. And so we pray that you would send forth a spirit of creativity amongst all of us, Lord. Allow us to create beauty for you. Allow us to create new ways of sharing the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Awesome. Patrick, we are living right now in one of the most creative moments of human history, right? It's like the culture is constantly producing more and more and more art and beauty. Like, we see all this, like, this massive surplus right now of digital art. And as the culture creates, this is both, like, I think, an opportunity and probably even an obligation for us as Catholics to bring the gospel alive through creativity.
I love that. I love that spirit, because I feel like a lot of us are tempted to throw stones at, like, all the bad stuff out there and not get involved. We need to separate ourselves.
Yeah, like,
but that's
the
not
internet
the
internet is the devil.
Yeah,
right?
www666. Right.
But that's not the case, right? This is a massive, like, the church has been telling us we're in the age of the new evangelization, and we want to proclaim the gospel in new ways. And that's what Eric does in his ministry. ODB Films basically says, we're going to use the venue of film to evangelize culture, which I think is brilliant. But I think, you know, we need to step back and say, if we look at the history of the church, creativity through art and music has been a critical part of proclaiming the gospel. And a lot of times it's like the primary means, right? Like, if you think back to the early church, it was the primary way of proclaiming the gospel through paintings and stained glass windows, where when people didn't know how to read, or when the Bible wasn't prevalent throughout the world and you couldn't have a copy at your house, they would use art to preach the gospel. And we need to bring that back in the church today.
You know, it's cool, Dan. I actually heard this last year, but you know, with houses, we call different levels, you know, a two-story house, a three-story house. Do you know where that came from, like calling a level a story?
No.
It actually came from stained glass in churches, that there would be one pictorial story one level, and then the upper level would have another story. And
wow.
So they'd see that, like, oh my gosh, this church is like three stories. And then they'd look at a house like, oh, it's a three-story house.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's neat. That's awesome.
That's true.
So,
true fact.
And I want to proclaim a truth into our listeners' lives. You are creative. There's an easy lie that the devil tells us from when we're little kids. I'm not a creative person. You're creative, right? And God wants to create through you. And the beauty about creation and creativity is that it makes invisible mysteries of God become visible. Right. And I just think it takes invisible mysteries and it makes it visible. So we ask ourselves, God, how can I make your invisible mysteries more visible? There's something profound about an artist being able to capture this, like, insane, complex mystery of the faith and bringing it alive through art. Patrick, can you share a time where like maybe a form of art touched your soul?
Oh my gosh. I mean, for me, it's music. Like I love the symphony. And I mean, there's some symphonies like that capture my soul. In fact, one of the ones is this composer named Gustav Holst, early 20th century composer who did The Planets. Huh. And it was like he had a different movement for every planet, okay? And one of the big ones is actually it's played in church a lot. Oh God, Beyond All Praising. Yeah. They took that symphony from Gustav Holst's The Planets. I think it was Jupiter. And they actually put words that, oh God, beyond all praising we worship. And so like that symphony, it's one of the, I don't go to the symphony all the time.
Yeah.
But when it came to our local symphony, I bought tickets. I took my wife to it and I encountered the Lord through that music. And every time I hear the organ play that movement in for All God Beyond All Praising, I get really excited. Wow. And it elevates my spirit.
Heck yeah. It's amazing how music can transform our soul right away, right into the heavenly grounds. I love film. I was watching this film on St. Francis, the life of St. Francis one time, and it rocked my world. It changed it. As I was watching this life of St. Francis, there was a scene where he was in prison in this dungeon and he was reading the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel.
Why was he in prison, Dan?
I can't remember. He was arrested for, this was before he was a monk. He was arrested because he was in a military, right?
Yep.
And so he had been arrested for fighting in the military. And as he's there, he's sharing, he's reading the Gospel. And just to watch the way the filmmaker showed Francis falling in love with the Gospel, I watched him fall in love with the Gospel, and all of a sudden, I fell in love with the Gospel. I was like, oh my, I just want to read the Sermon on the Mount right now. And that was a critical changing point in my life where I was like, all I want is to soak in the Word of God, right? And like, art transformed my heart in that
way.
It's
like a doorway. Like, you see the creativity expressed in a painting, in music, and in a movie. And it's like a prophetic doorway that you can walk into the Spirit present through another person and then receive the grace from that.
Yeah. And it's like, well, why does that happen? It's because where does creativity come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
All creativity, all creation comes in and through the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's like, that's the first sentence in the Gospel, in the Bible, right? Like,
he breathed over the waters.
Yeah. God created the heaven. Scripture says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness swept over the abyss, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters in Genesis chapter 1. So let's think about this, right? Isn't the earth kind of formless and empty right now? Like, our culture is formless and empty. Truth, beauty, and goodness is our art nowadays is often formless and empty. And darkness is sweeping over our culture right now. Mm-hmm. It's sweeping over the abyss. There's this widespread darkness seeking to devour us. And it's the Spirit of God that wants to hover over creation right now and bring about new creation through the new evangelization.
So good.
It's so good. So the Holy Spirit enables creation and creativity. And we want you to tap into the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to enable you to be more creative. So if there's this lie inside of you that says, oh, I'm not a creative person, yes, you are, right? If you've got the Holy Spirit in you, he wants to inflame more creation in you. Have you ever heard of an artist saying like, oh yeah, I just got really inspired, right? The word inspiration, inspire, comes from the Latin word that means to aflame or to breathe life into.
Yeah.
What are the two primary symbols of the Holy Spirit?
Fire and breath.
And breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit is inspiration. Patrick, can you share, like, when was the time the Holy Spirit inspired you? Like, how does the Holy Spirit inspire you?
Like, all the time, all day, uh-huh. every day. Literally, it's in prayer, it's in silence, it's in worship, and I just become attentive to, I mean, usually for me, it's through my imagination. Like, I'm in prayer, and then I'll start to see things in my imagination, and then I know that when I'm in that mode of communication with God, that God's given me these downloads, this revelation, and they're really cool ideas. So, like, literally, 90% of my youth group stuff that I do for youth ministry is just that right there. It's a lot of original free things that God's doing for my community. And I know that the things that bear the most fruit happen in prayer in that inspiration. And the things that I'm just kind of like that 10% of things that you just do normally,
yeah,
those things can be the most stale.
Yeah.
And people know it too.
Definitely. Yeah.
I think it's everything, not just ministry, but your job, your work. You're going to know. I mean, I know businessmen that actually, when they're just doing their, they're maintaining what they already have, it's kind of stale. They actually aren't producing new capital, new fruit.
Yeah.
But when they're being like attentive to actually what God wants to do to bless them so that they can be more abundant for their employees, they can hire more people, that's what is happening.
Yeah,
we can do a whole show on that.
It's a good word, right? That God inspires us through prayer, and the Holy Spirit is going to bring about creativity through us. And I love what you're saying, Patrick. Whether you're an artist or a business person, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through prayer to bring about newness, right? Always newness. And that's beautiful. I've been doing this thing lately where I just pray over my imagination, and I ask the Holy Spirit to just bless my imagination. I'll even do it with my kids. Like I'll say, okay, let's ask the Holy Spirit to bless our imaginations right now. Come, Holy Spirit, over my imagination. And then I'll ask my kids, hey, kids, what vision is God giving your imagination right now? And then they'll be like, oh, I see this. And I'll be like, all right, well, what do you think God means by that, right? And so it's just, God wants to inspire us in prayer through our imagination, through visions. And I think that's usually what an artist does.
Let's all pray for our imaginations right now.
Let's do it.
All right. Lay your hands on your head. Mm. All right. Make an act. If you're driving, keep only one hand on your head, one hand on the wheel.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're just going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of any spirits that aren't holy, that have a hold on our minds. We just break all those mental strongholds. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill us with your presence, with your blessing, and that you would use our imaginations to speak to us, that you would actually sanctify our imaginations,
yes, Lord,
that we bring forth your creativity.
You,
and
Jesus.
we pray that in faith, knowing that you're going to give us those good things, because we pray them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Praise the Lord. So
that was a good prayer.
We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to hear from a person, Eric Groth, who just is a man of creation. He's created so much for the gospel, for the new evangelization. You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back.
When he was 16 years old, my friend William was jumped into an El Salvadorian gang in East Los Angeles. 2 years later, he was sentenced to 16 years in prison for armed robbery. There, it only got worse. Armed with steel shanks and ties to the Mexican mafia, he ran the show behind bars, started a prison riot, and ended up in solitary confinement. That is where he met God. While in solitary, a chaplain gave William a copy of the New Testament. With nothing else to do, he began to read the Gospels for the very first time. The prodigal son, the story of the woman caught in adultery, the death and resurrection of Jesus. Within days, he was completely transformed. He got out of prison early through a series of small miracles and started a gang outreach rehab program called Prevención y Rescate, which is still going strong today. Friends, no one is ever beyond hope, because no sin is bigger than the mercy and power of God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Why do I have to follow so many rules?
Last week, I made some cookies. Shut up, guys can make cookies if we want. Anyway, I didn't want to follow that oppressive, rule-oriented recipe anymore. So instead of a cup of sugar, I substituted a cup of arsenic. The cookies were pretty terrible. But they illustrate a very good point. When we ask why we have to follow rules, we're really asking if we can trust God. If God is a tyrant who uses rules to oppress us and ruin our lives, then yeah, why would we want to follow those rules? But is he giving us rules to prevent us from being happy? Or is he giving us the perfect recipe for happiness? When we understand that God wants us to have life and have it to the full, we can start living like he wants us to. And we won't need rules anymore. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We have here on Encounter with us a man who is living an extraordinary mission. His name is Eric Groth. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
It's good to have
you, Eric. Great to be with you guys.
Wow, Eric, so you have ODB Films. You're the CEO and lead executive producer for ODB Films. Can you share, like, you just released in 2016 this full-length feature film about the Blessed Mother, Full of Grace. How well did that go? Like, where'd it go? What'd you do with it? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, Full of Grace was such a treat for us. We, you know, I mean, our history, we've produced over the last 12 years 200 short films for Catholic teens, and that's been our heart, is to really create short-form content that really evangelizes and catechizes the young church. And so kind of one thing led to another. It's a long story, but we had the opportunity to create a longer piece. And so we really wanted to do some films on lives of the saints, and we thought, okay, if we're going to do films on lives of the saints, then it's best that we really need to start with the Blessed Mother. And so then what do we do with that? And we just started to explore creatively. You know, obviously in scripture, we know what we know about the Blessed Mother, and there's not a lot written. I love in, you know, the last things that's recorded that she says in scripture is at the wedding feast of Cana, where she tells the servants to do whatever her son tells them, you know, and I think that's just such a beautiful message, for all of us in seeking after her and her son. But so we decided we were going to start with her. We had to start with that first apostle, and we initially we thought maybe we would do like 15-minute films, like maybe four a year, and it kind of evolved into doing an hour-long piece. And even on the first day of shooting, we thought we were going to be just doing an hour-long piece. We'd break it into three 20-minute segments, create discussion material for it, get it out to the churches, and God had completely different plans for it. I mean, even in the process of filming, we just knew. We knew that the Holy Spirit was doing something special and unique through this, just in terms of the content, but also the way that we were able to interact and be Christ's presence to the people we filmed with and were involved in production with. And just a wonderful opportunity. And so, you know, one thing led to another. We did a screening of the film for potential buyers and distributors, and a company called Synodyme kind of rose up. They're a secular company, but they really had a heart for family-friendly content. And so we ended up selling the film to them, and they got it into the Walmarts, Targets, and iTunes, and Amazon Prime, and all those places. And so it's been really cool. I know they sold, you know, tens of thousands of units in the first year when it released in January. But I think the greater thing about it is how we use it in a ministry and a missional sense to really help others encounter Christ. We'll take the film into churches, into parishes. Over the last 2 years, we've probably done seven dozen all around the country, all over the world. I mean, we've even had the opportunity to share the film with 200 Palestinian Catholics in a theater in Bethlehem. We've been in San Juan, Puerto Rico at mission there, and in Italy and in Sicily. We had a chance to meet with the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, and his household watched the film and had a little conversation with him about it. And just the whole idea of using this as a tool for evangelization. So it's just such a privilege. Like, honestly, you know, if somebody said to me way back when, which is certainly part of my journey, someday you'd be producing films, you know, even short films, let alone feature films, I would have just laughed hysterically because it would have made no sense to me whatsoever. But, you know, I mean, when you give your life to the Lord and you say, this life is your life, not mine, do with it what you want, you better hold on and get ready.
Yeah.
So, Eric,
he'll take you serious.
Am I inferring correctly you didn't go to film school or anything like that?
No, so and that's part of my background too. So I was a baseball player, and I can even kind of connect this just to my journey and my encounter if you want me to kind of go there with it. But I was a ball player. I was a catcher. I was in my senior year, I was ranked in the top five in the state of Illinois for catchers. And I really was passionate about baseball. I tried out for multiple pro teams, colleges, you know, lots of scouting and things like that.
Wow.
And I was essentially going to have my pick of the mill when I graduated from high school. And at the same time, I was getting more and more involved in my faith at my parish, more and more involved. I mean, more, you know, grew up in a real traditional Catholic family, went to church every Sunday, you know, special prayers during Advent and Lent. And I fully believed in God, but I just didn't really, it wasn't that like metanoia where my heart was on fire yet. And I was 16. I was my it was my junior year. I was on a retreat put on by the NET team for our confirmation, you know, requirement, and didn't really want to go. It wasn't the worst thing that I could do, but I didn't really want to go because I was going to miss baseball games. It was a 3-day thing. And I remember walking in and seeing this retreat put on by a lot of young college age people. And that kind of took me aback a little bit. You're like, wow, you know, these people are really energetic. They're really excited about their faith, which was an excitement that, frankly, I didn't really see a lot in my parish, you know, kind of people really engaged in it. And so it's a little bit unbelievable for a moment. But then as I kind of journeyed with them through that course of that weekend, I could see it was very legitimate. And there was a point before a reconciliation service where I just remember I was looking up at a cross, and I remember just like a confirmation, like almost a spoken word in my heart from God looking down, just telling me, hey, you know what, Eric, I did this for you, and I want your heart, and I want your life. And that was a radical shift for me. And so I started, you know, moving forward with that. What do I do with that? I was involved in my parish youth ministry as a leader, but just kind of a new, you know, new lenses almost. But still was kind of, okay, where am I headed? You know, still really was engaged in baseball, wanting to do that. But ministry started to kind of ping me a little bit more and more. And so I got into my senior year. And I also played football in high school, and my senior year rolled around. I was a running back. Sixth game of the year, I blew my knee out.
Oh, man.
And I was a catcher, as I mentioned, and I just, in that moment, I hit the ground. In that moment, I saw, like, the whole, all my plans to be a baseball player just kind of vanished.
Yep.
And I'll never forget that weekend, because what comes around goes around, and this was almost a year later, that we had happened that Friday night. I went to the hospital. They scheduled me for reconstructive surgery that Monday. We had a youth program that night at our parish, and I was there with a brace and crutches, feeling sorry for myself, and it just happened to be put on by the NET team. And we got done with the night, and the team came up to me and said, hey, Eric, some of them, I mean, they knew of me a little bit from, I'm sure our youth minister was telling the story. They said, can we bring you in the chapel and pray for you? And I said, yeah, absolutely, you know. And so we went into the chapel. They laid their hands on my knee. They prayed for me, healing. After that moment, I could stand up and I could walk.
Wow!
And it wasn't like I could walk. I walked out to the car, and I, you know, didn't fully understand it. I had, you know, I was still limping a little bit, but I could put pressure on my leg, and went in on that Monday morning for surgery. Still had reconstructive surgery, but the doctors came out afterwards and said to my folks, they were like, you know, we really don't understand. We were planning to repair this ligament and this ligament and this ligament, and we only had to do this one repair. and so I understood at that moment that God wanted my heart and he wanted my life, and I had a long journey in front of me, but I worked my butt off and got back on the field and lost, you know, didn't get drafted, didn't get those scholarships, kind of. But again, it forced me to kind of look at life a little differently. Chose a school in Florida, went there, walked on, played baseball for a couple of years. But then after that, I knew the Lord was moving me full time in ministry.
Wow!
And so I got my degree. Getting back to the original question, I got my degree in Christian education. I went on to get my master's degree in counseling because I really wanted to work with the young church, and I didn't think for me, like, I didn't want the philosophy or the theology degree. I really wanted something practical, and went and started working, got my degrees, worked as a campus minister, religion teacher, coached some sports in a Catholic high school for a while. This was in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah, all good things happened in the early 90s.
And so at that time, and again, talk about the creativity. One of the things that really grabbed my interest and my heart and my parish was my youth minister. We were as creative as you could be with technology in the late 80s. We were using screens with shadow mimes and slide projectors and pyrotechs and,
nice.
And boom boxes where we would press the cassette play, you know, at the right time. And we would do these multimedia presentations. And for what it did for me, it just really stirred in me that passion and desire to reach out to the young church with the gospel message with excellence and in a way that was very creative and in a way that was different than just having a talking head on a video, you know, teaching. And there's a place for that, but I really was passionate about doing something creative. And so now as a youth minister in the early 90s and the digital revolution starting to take place allowed us to have more access to editing programs and computers and cameras that didn't cost a fortune. Yeah. And as we in Catholic ministry were looking for content for our programs, we really couldn't find anything. So what do you do when you can't find the content you're looking for? You make it, right?
Yep.
So we just started making content yep. for our programs. And one thing led to another after that. I ended up working with a ministry on a national level, and we were putting on youth rallies around the country for dioceses. We were creating our own content. And out of that, inevitably at each event, multiple people would come up to us afterward and say, "Where did you get your content?" And we would say, "Well, we made our content." And they would, "Well, can we have it too?" And we just started sharing our content. And that led to the formation in the early 2000s of Outside the Box, with the idea of doing things differently for our teens as a not-for-profit ministry, wanting to get content out there that they can use to help people, help their young church encounter Christ. And in that span, we'd given away over 30,000 free DVDs and really yeah. had just such a privilege to use creativity. I mean, there's nothing more creative than the human person. I mean, we are God's ultimate expression of creativity. And in that lives within us, as you guys were sharing on the first part of the program, just this untapped in so many people, you know, energy and creativity that God is just waiting for people to use to bring Christ to the world through that goodness and truth and beauty.
Amen to that. So you were really like on the cutting edge of the new evangelization in the late 80s through the 90s. Like, that's just amazing. Like, this hunger to bring the gospel to everyone. What, Patrick, what spoke out to you the most of what's going down with?
I just love how he's going for it. He's following inspiration, passion. It's like that. I love it. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he's a baseball player. He's not at UCLA film school, you know, and God called him in that place from the heart of the church to release what was there. And he just responded to a need.
Amen.
He didn't like wait for a bishop to call him and say, "Eric, we need you to, you know, make some good films."
Yeah.
He
followed the Holy Spirit. A bishop later did do that.
Yeah, I know.
but he didn't wait for it. Amen to that. Yeah. And I love the prayer that the Lord spoke to your heart, Eric. I want your heart. I want your life. And if that was our anthem, if every day we woke up and we were just like, yeah, Jesus wants my heart and he wants my life. And Jesus, you have it. It's all yours. That's amazing. So, we're really excited. Eric, you're working on something really amazing right now. And right when we come back from a break, we're going to share with the audience what this amazing new project that you're working on with ODB Films. So you're listening to Encounter. It's a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio, and it's carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. As soon as we come back, you're going to hear more from Eric Groth and his extraordinary ministry. We'll be right back.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Why can't priests get married? Did you know that an ordination shares a lot of similarity with a wedding? The rituals, the vows, even the speak now or forever hold your peace. Why all this similarity? Because he's getting married! His bride is the Catholic Church, and he promises his life to her, just as Christ, the true bridegroom, has done from all eternity. Now, yes, it is possible to have an earthly bride and a heavenly bride, but since the heavenly bride always has to come first, it can be really hard on even the saintliest earthly bride. That's why for the past 1,000 years, the Church has echoed St. Paul's words when he said to early priests, "An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided." So, why can't priests get married? Well, because they already are. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
The Catechism defines an indulgence as a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven. But is it biblical to say punishment remains after God has forgiven our sins and that we can do something to satisfy it? I think it is. For example, David is forgiven of his sin in 2 Samuel 12, but yet must suffer the death of his son. Even Jesus teaches in Luke 12 that the servant who sins without full knowledge will be punished, but in a lesser degree. It is such temporal consequences that indulgences remit. Exercising her power to bind and loose, the church grants indulgences to help her children heed St. Paul's exhortation in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation. So, is the Catholic understanding of an indulgence biblical? You bet it is. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. So we're here with Eric Groth, the executive director for ODB Films. And Eric, you're sharing with us about all the different amazing ministries that have come out of this call that the Holy Spirit placed on your life to create for Him. You know, earlier we were talking about your film on the Blessed Mother, Full of Grace. It's hard to... I always love to see how people interpret the Blessed Mother in film, mm-hmm. because how do you create the personality of the Mother of God, right? And so what were the deepest elements of Mary's personality that you really wanted to convey in Full of Grace?
Yeah, no, I mean, the decision we made to start with the Blessed Mother as the first film on saints, while we knew we were called to do it, it was also a little scary. Like, this is the most revered, important woman that has ever lived. And so how do we represent her well? And what strand where do we run with that? And so we were just praying and reflecting, what do you want us to do with this, Lord? And we really, for those who, I won't spoil, no spoil alert, but that we wanted to tell what her final days on earth might have looked like. And we know from the cross that she was put into the care of John and she was given to the world and vice versa. We wanted to explore, you know, because you look in scripture and she's there. She's the mother. She's always with Jesus. She's wise. She's a servant. And yet there's not a lot written. And even in some of the traditions, like we pulled some of the visions and stories from St. Bridget of Sweden or Blessed Catherine Ann Emmerich to help us kind of form some of the components of this story. But we thought, okay, let's look at what was going on in this time. And so her death, you know, dormition to assumption would have occurred, you know, 10 plus years after the resurrection. So we were looking at what was going on in the life of the church then. And it was really a time that where turmoil was starting to happen, especially as heresies were starting to rise up. Was her son God? Was he man? Was he 50% one? Who was he? And then persecution on the church. By that time, James was already martyred. And so we were looking at that, and we were reflecting on, so who was really important at that time? And obviously St. Peter, our first pope. And so we decided to tell a story about, really, it's Full of Grace is in great part a story about Peter and how he had to lead the church in that 10 years. And the things he was facing, the questions, the struggles in Jerusalem and Pontus, and the question of, do the Gentiles need to become, after they're baptized, do they need to become Jews? And how do we respond to that? So how are they going to know the teachings? How are they going to know the faith? And so with all of that, we kind of contextually put it in that moment. And then we ask the question, so what is possible or probable? What could have Mary's role in the life of the early church been like? And, you know, we kind of used imagination, used creativity. We certainly bounced it off of church history and teaching, but we went beyond the lines and just used imagination to think about facts and or things like, she was probably having the apostles over for dinner,
yes.
cooking them dinner,
yes.
sitting around the table, having conversations.
Yep.
I mean, these are real people. And as we produce these films, that's one of our goals, is as the viewer of these films, we want people to connect on a real personal level, that they see that these people, you know, Mary being different, obviously, but these saints weren't born with halos around their heads. These were real people, just like me and you.
Yeah,
you and I who struggle and have burdens and difficulties. So we plop down in this story this beautiful woman who was engaged in the life of these apostles whom she loved as her own children. and their adoration of her, and they're going to her, and her just little simple moments of wisdom that she can impart to them, and really for them to hold on to their son through Jesus, her son, through her.
Wow.
And so that's some of the stuff we explored. We used a lot of imagination, and we went in directions that are very unique and new to people, in terms, especially those of us who, you know, who understand Catholic teaching and Catholic tradition, and what we did with Mary's death/dormition, what we did with her assumption. Again, we wanted to maintain the integrity of that doctrine and the integrity of our teaching without making it, you know, some crazy Hollywood film.
Yeah, that isn't that amazing that when actually church doctrine and church teaching doesn't limit our creativity, it actually magnifies it, right? It just gives more depth and knowledge.
And order, you know, you need banks of the river to help the river flow.
Exactly.
Right? In a good direction.
We know that the scriptures have absolutely everything we need for salvation. It's all there. Nothing more is needed. And obviously the church and its wisdom over the years with the magisterium and expanding on that through catechesis, helping us to understand and apply it more in our life, it's all right there. But you look at like the Gospel of John at the end, where it says, these are some of the things Jesus did. If we were to record everything Jesus did, volume upon volume would be necessary.
Yep.
And so we kind of think, what are some of those things? You know, again, not trying to make stuff up,
yep,
but just things that are very possible and even probable that would have happened in the human life of these people.
Like maybe angels would have picked up Mary's house and taken it to Italy. Who knows, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
I was referencing the story of the Mary's house in Loretto. FYI, that's a potentially real thing.
That's wild. Well, awesome. So can you, Eric, I know you have a heart for the young church, and a lot of your motivation for starting ODB Films and Outside the Box was really to evangelize the young church. So you made this 4-year series, video series on the catechism. How did you use film to teach the catechism?
Yeah, so we call it the Video Catechism, or VCAT. You can go to our site, odbfilms.com, look at our films page. We actually have all of those free to stream. It's a 60-film series. We took the 4 sections of the catechism, creed, sacraments, morality, and prayer, and we just said, let's pull out the major tenets. We partnered with Bob Rice, who was the director of catechetics at Franciscan University, longtime friend and partner, to look at the catechism and break it down. What can we pull out? What are the main components that we would want to pull out to teach in short form content? And so the first one on creed, we looked at the whole Apostles' Creed, the 12 articles of the creed. We made a film for every article in the creed. All the films are 2 to 8 minutes in length. They're humorous. They're documentary style, their narrative style, their animation, a whole variety of ways of teaching the faith. And we just, again, really wanted to take words off paper and put them in multiple dimensions and use creativity to do it, to think, again, outside the box, to think beyond just, repeating what's there, to trying to stir the young church's imagination and again, being culturally relevant too, and creating things that kind of mirror what's going on in their lives, you know, at this time in their culture. So, you know, it's just, again, I mean, it's all rooted in my experience using slide projectors and cassette tapes.
Yes.
And wanting to, again, you know, really, I would say a desperation of heart for a young person to know Jesus and encounter Jesus as in a way that I have. I think we go from our own experience, and not saying that, hey, you guys should all encounter Jesus like I do, but you know, when the Lord has grabbed your heart and it's been changed, and the true evangelist, that can't be contained. I mean, it's got to be shared. And so just sharing it in relevant and creative ways.
So earlier in the show, we were talking about how an artist makes the invisible mysteries of God become visible, right? And so in doing that through the catechism, right, you took the mysteries of God that is revealed through the church, and you made them visible through these films. Can you share any like testimonies or stories of young people's conversion that came through these films?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's awesome. We do live events still. So we do retreats, we do events. So we're out there with the teens. We see how they engage in it. I've had conversations, you know, with just teens afterwards coming up and saying, wow, I really clicked with that. I had a woman come up to me after we showed Full of Grace in tears, and she said she just really needed to kind of bask in how we presented the Holy, the Blessed Mother, and she had just lost her son. Her 30-year-old son died of cancer the week before, and it was just like timing for her. So those kind of stories are just amazing. And the testimonial, and people will share, especially youth ministers and DREs and youth leaders, because we get to the teens a lot through them. You know, we're creating a resource that can help them do the job that God is calling them to do. So it's awesome to hear those kind of stories, too. I'll share one story that really has kind of sums it all up to me in terms of what we do, why we do it. And we were filming Full of Grace, and we shot over 10 days in Hollywood, in L.A., and through three outdoor locations and then on a soundstage. We had a pretty good cast and crew of about 50 people, and got to know a little bit our first assistant director. And, you know, I'm new to the Hollywood scene. I mean, we've done all of our short films outside of that environment, so I didn't know what all these roles were. But I learned pretty quickly that your first assistant director is like the drill sergeant on set. You know, you got your creatives with your director and your director of photography, and none of it would be pulled off if the first assistant director didn't kind of direct the whole thing. And I mean, as a matter of fact, if you watch any film, the credits scroll at the end, usually the first name you see is the first assistant director. Well, subsequently, they're also not necessarily the nicest people on earth in a lot of instances. And I got to know ours a little bit. His name was Dave, and had a really interesting guy. He was in like mid-30s, Jewish background, grew up in L.A., grew up in that film industry, but shared with me that he had never stepped foot in a church in his life. And so got to know him a little bit more. Here we all, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're Jews and we're Christians and we're believers and non-believers, and making this film on the Blessed Mother, such a privilege.
Amen to that.
And I went up to him the second to last day, and I said, hey, Dave, can I interview you for a behind-the-scenes video? I was thinking, you know, not a lot of people know what this guy does, and I was really impressed with him and what he did through the process. And he kind of looked at me cross-eyed, like, why the heck would you want to interview me? I'm the first assistant director. But he was also kind of honored that I asked him, and so he said yes. And the last day, I'm putting stuff away, and I sort of forgot. I feel this tap on my shoulder, and it was Dave. And he said, hey, Eric, you ready for that interview? And I said, absolutely. So I grabbed the camera, and I said, well, Dave, why don't you tell the viewer what the first assistant director does? And so he just started to talk a little bit about that, and specifically what he did with Full of Grace. And then he stopped, and he looked at me off camera, and he said, so, Eric, should I refer to this as a Christian thing or a Catholic thing or what? And I said, well, Dave, you've been with us for a week. You know we're Catholic, but you know our heart for this film is that whether, you know, you're a Catholic and it gives you a new look at the Blessed Mother, a new experience of who she might have been, or you're an evangelical and you get a new appreciation or maybe a first appreciation for her, or you're a non-believer. I said, there's just so many human elements in this film that we hope it's for everybody. So, Dave, you can call it whatever you want. And he said, okay, and he got back behind the camera, and he looked into the camera, and he said, this is the first Catholic thing that I've ever been a part of, and he started to cry.
Wow.
And I waited for a moment, and I don't think he expected that response from himself, and he paused, and then he went on, and he said three things. He said, the script was beautiful. Then he said, we became like a family producing it. And that was music to my ears, because these people in this Hollywood environment are not people. Mm-hmm. They're jobs, and they're replaceable, and they're not treated with the dignity they deserve. And that's one of the things was our goal as a team was we're going to come, and we're going to serve, and we're not going to judge, and we're going to love. Yeah. And so to hear him say that was like, check, we thank you, Lord, you brought that spirit to this environment. Mm. But the third thing he said was what really, really grabbed my heart. And he said, it made faith accessible for me.
Wow.
And I stood there for a moment. We finished the interview, got done. And then I had this, again, another kind of profound, like the Lord speaking to my heart and communicating to me, like, how important we are to the Father. And I connected it in the fact that this was an ultra low budget film, but we still spent several hundred thousand dollars on it, which was more than we would typically make. And the reality that the kind of what was in my heart was that the whole thing could have been done by the Lord to grab Dave's heart if he wanted to. That's wow. how much he cares for us.
Yeah. That's such a good
word. I know
word,
it's been more than that, and it's beyond that, but that kind of defines out, like, this is why we do what we do. We want to make artfully made, spiritually rich content that the viewers can be hopefully drawn into encounter with Christ. But every person that we have the privilege, whether they're hanging lights, whether they're the first AD, whether they're the director, whether they're the main actor, we want to be God's representation and presence to them.
Mm, so good. Amen. It's like Jesus would have died. He still would have died on the cross if it was just you.
Yeah.
That amen. Needed it. Yeah.
And that's the reality of it, you know? And so, and I felt how much God loved Dave in that moment.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many people who experience that through Full of Grace or some of your other films that you'll never even know. Like, I love digital evangelization because it's like the you're evangelizing even while you're asleep, right? Like, you could be sleeping in Chicago with your at home, and someone on the other side of the world is watching
world
Full of Grace.
The film. I know.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
In my heart, like, and so it's been a joy for us to expand from doing short form to feature form to doing events where we're using our content in these evangelistic events. And it's such a joy because I long to know. I'm always wondering, like, so what do you think? How are you using this? What's happening in the lives of your kids? What do you think about the film? Did it move you? Did it touch you? And we just don't hear that feedback enough. So to have those few moments
where
we're out there, it just inspires us to say, okay, this is why we're doing this, and amen. This is why what God is calling us to do, and keep moving forward.
Hey, I want our audience to know, too, you know, we make a lot of excuses as to why we can't labor in the vineyard of the Lord. Like, oh, I'm not talented enough, I'm not creative enough, I'm too busy. And, like, Eric is doing amazing things. He's got a really small team, and he's a father. He's been married for 26 years, and he's a father of 8 children, right? So, and so
that's
I just
the best part of my life, right there.
Exactly, right? Like, you're serving the church in multiple ways, and in time, God blesses our time and allows us to do things. One of the things that has always I've known you, Eric, for a long time, and one thing that always so Eric is beautiful. Eric takes young people under his wing and he makes them disciples. And so what I've seen you do for years, Eric, is you're inspiring young artists to become great, right? And when I was younger and I was watching you, I watched how hard you worked for ministry. Mm. Like, it was night and day you worked, and you looked you didn't like look tired, like you were burnt out, but you looked tired from laboring in the kingdom. And I loved that, like, about you. Like, when I was young, I was like, hey, I want to be exhausted because I worked hard for Jesus.
Praise
right?
God. That's awesome. Yeah. and exhausted for Jesus. There's much more content in that tiredness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just thank you for that, for working hard for God, and God's blessing that. So ODB Films is coming out with something big, right? You're working with a major evangelical film distributor on a new feature length film that's going to be released in theaters in late 2018. Can you share with the audience, like, drum roll, like, what's that film going to be?
We're really close to making, like, major announcements, so I can tell you as much as I can right now, and it is a treat, and they've moved it to, it looks like it's going to release at this coming Easter, which
wow,
is just beautiful.
Cool.
We're doing a film on the Apostle Paul.
Whoa!
And it's going to be, so we're partnering with a major evangelical organization, and here we are, it's a great partnership and I don't think we could probably pick an apostle better to partner on, Catholics and evangelicals, than the Apostle Paul. And,
yeah, definitely.
And so, and what a story he has. And again, using kind of the same vein as we did in Full of Grace, of looking at not being afraid to explore Paul's humanity, because it's in that humanity that I think we get the fullest understanding of how the grace of God impacted him. And I'm excited about the film. I'm excited about the partnership. And again, I just laugh. You know, I think it, you know, how God writes your life and the people he connects you with, and you just put that one foot in front of the other, and, you know, we're making short films, and then all of a sudden we make a feature film that wasn't intended to do that, and all of a sudden they get wind of that, and they see what we did, and how frugal we were, and our missional heart, and now we get to partner with them on something pretty major. So
that's amazing.
I'm real excited about it. I truly think it's going to be the most beautiful first century film to hit the theater since The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah!
Amen!
It's called
Amen.
Excellence!
So, yeah, stay tuned. I think we're in the casting process right now. And once we finish the casting process, which will probably take us another 4 weeks or maybe a little less, then there'll be an announcement from us and from the company, because then they'll start marketing it.
That's power.
And promoting it. So
that's awesome. So, Eric, when you are writing these stories, right, and you're writing the script, how do you go to the Lord for inspiration, for your own creativity?
We have a team, and it's a team. I mean, we're body of Christ, and everybody has their contribution and their part. So I'm not... We have the writer director for the film's name is Andrew Hyatt. He was the writer director of our Full of Grace film, and then and also for this, the one on the Apostle Paul. And our lead producer TJ Burden is also just incredibly creative in story and storytelling and putting it on the screen. So it kind of starts with Andrew taking the lead in his writing process. He's a Catholic, very much a rejuvenated, on fire Catholic over the last 4 or 5 years. And his writing process is beautiful. He prays. He reads everything he can that has to do with the subject ever written. So you should have seen his mound of St. Paul books and the scriptures. And then he takes all colored sticky notes, and he starts writing notes, and he puts them up on the wall. I saw a picture once. I think with Full of Grace, there was a wall that probably had 500 little stickies with notes all over, different
awesome.
Colors. And he prays, and then he says, "All right, Lord, what do you want to do? What's the story?" And I think that's the constant denominator that has to be present, is that, okay, Lord, what do you want to do with the story? Mm-hmm. Every film that we've ever done, even our short films, we've always said, "Lord, what do you want to tell? What story do you want?" And we always come to the reality of it's not about what we want. How do you want to tell a story? You know, and so he's constantly... we're constantly asking that question, like, what do you want to communicate, Lord? And so then kind of he'll move those stickies around and start kind of formulating story, and then you bring it back to prayer. And, you know, but yeah, every little short film that we've ever done, even when I come down to the edit, the first thing I'll say is, all right, Lord, this is yours. What message? There's somebody out there who is going to hear this, and what do you want them to hear? So
yeah.
That's hugely part of that creative process.
So prayer and study, right? Like, it seems like whenever, if you're feeling uninspired in your life, prayer and study, those are the things that really help inspire us.
Absolutely. Prayer and study. No
yeah,
doubt about it.
I love it. So, Eric, what would you say to someone listening in the audience who doesn't feel creative, or maybe who wants to participate in the new evangelization in new ways and new wineskins, but just doesn't feel like they have the gifts to do it?
Yeah, you know, I would say, I mean, and not trying to be too simplistic here, but I think, again, I would say continue every day to fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus, you know, and you do that through communication and getting to know him. And how do we get to know him? We do that through prayer. We do that through scripture. We do that through sacraments and liturgy and being around others, you know, put yourself around other people who really want the same, you know, and to help edify you and help you grow in that faith and fall in love with Jesus and realize and understand that every single one of us were created for purpose and mission. And to help, you know, lead all people to the kingdom of heaven. And so to realize that you have vocation, you know, that every single one of us has a vocation, an avocation, a specific purpose that God wants us to attain. And it is creativity. I mean, we are creative. We were created by the ultimate creative being, the author of all creation and creativity, and has put that within us. And we express it in all different ways. And that's, you know, according to the gifts that God has given us. And
amen.
I think to explore that through prayer and scripture and people. And don't be afraid. Like, I know in my life, there's tons of blind spots. It's hard sometimes to be objective. Don't be afraid to get a mentor in your life or have people who are walking with you who can look at you and see things that you don't see about yourself.
Awesome. I think that's great.
And help you draw gifts that you may not even know are there. I grew up in a sports family. My dad was a college athlete. My grandfather played professional baseball. That's all we did. I played football. I played baseball. But the Lord had planted in me, an ability to be creative. And it was just a matter of, like, opportunities and being in his presence and being around people who helped to kind of nurture that and draw that out of me.
Yep.
And so I would say that, you know, amen. Really fall in love with Jesus. Stay
Thank
connected
you.
To him. Ask the question all the time, every morning, what do you want me to do today, Lord? What
amen.
Do you want
that's
me to
that's
do
the prophetic
life?
Question.
That's the prophetic
people,
question, yeah.
Ask others.
All right, well, we're gonna
ask... What do you see in me? What do you see in me? What do I have to offer?
Eric, we got to wrap up here. We're going to ask the Lord right now in prayer, Lord, how do you want to use me? God, how do you want to use me?
Come
Holy
Spirit.
What do you want to do through me today, Lord? Come Holy Spirit. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would send forth the power of creation upon us, that you would enlighten our minds and our hearts. You would enlighten our imaginations. Come, Holy Spirit, use us for greater things, Lord. We want to labor in your vineyard and bring about the kingdom of God. We pray this in your name.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you
amen.
So much, Eric, for being
you
on the
so
show,
much.
Man.
Yeah, we're so grateful
man,
for
what
you.
A privilege. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're such a blessing to the church. We pray for more more laborers in the vineyard like you.
What's your website,
thanks,
Eric?
You guys. Yep, we're ODB, outside the box, ODBfilms.com.
ODBfilms.com. Awesome. Thank you. Go check that out. You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
And you can learn more about us or our show or check out our audio archive at www.encounterradio.org. That's www.encounterradio.org.
Most importantly, listeners, we want you to produce beautiful and great things for the Lord. So whether it's small to start or huge and global like Eric, we want you to do amazing things for God. So today, ask God, what can I do for you?
Eric, thank you so much for being on the show and for representing Jesus so well in Hollywood.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Dan. It's such a privilege to be with you guys. And God, we'll be praying for you guys in your ministry, too. What a blessing it is.
Awesome.
Thanks,
God bless, brother.
We'll see you.
See ya.
Woo!